Lord, thank you for this evening. We thank you for the ministry of your word and of your spirit. Lord, we ask and receive refreshing by the Holy Ghost tonight as we go into the study of your word. We ask that every heart here is fed to the full. Every heart here is nourished. Clarity, direction, and focus is parted and reinforced tonight and beyond in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's our seat, church. Hallelujah. 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 All right. Okay. It's beautiful. Amen. Are we here? Okay, so we are looking at supernatural direction, right? Or divine leading, right? Divine leading? Okay. So are we ready? Are we all with our Bibles? So you hold your Bible. Yeah, so some of you don't know how to hold your Bible and your jotters. It's a training. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. John chapter 8. So I have some 2 hours or less. Verse 12. Are we there? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, can we read together now? Want to go? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have, say, I have divine leading. Hallelujah. Deep. Say, I walk in supernatural direction. So we started out last week to discuss on the place of the written word, because that has been the focus of this particular session. And I was just going through my notes yesterday and then today, and I already felt again to teach on supernatural direction, something like the leading of the Spirit, what it means, because I found my thoughts expanding. So I'll just stick to what I prepared. I'm looking into my notes from years ago, I think 4 or 5 years ago now. Hallelujah. So I'll just stick to these, and then we can always visit our thoughts as we go on. That's why we're not in a hurry. Hallelujah. So we're looking at the place of the written word. And I said some things about the written word last week. I said that the word of God, or the written word, I'm going to explain to you what I mean by written word. Some of you think the written word is the Bible. Now, the Bible is the written word. But we're going to see that. It's not a no, and it's not a yes. Hallelujah. So, when it's not a no and it's not a yes, what is it? It is what it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to explain. Amen. You know, you have to like explanation. Say, I don't want the explanation. Just tell me. I think the last time I had that was when I joined the outreach, right? That was the last time I had that. It says, we don't want any explanation. Just tell us. Whether yes or no. So it was an unbelieving audience. I already knew they were not listening for the explanation. So I gave it to them. A bone, right? I gave them the bone to swallow. I guess they couldn't swallow it, so they vomited it. So I left the bone with them. Hallelujah. You don't know what that means? Praise God. So we said that the written word is God's primary means of guiding and leading the believer. The written word. We're going to study out that. What do we mean by written word? We're going to see, but you should know that now. Right, we'll go on. We looked at Joshua 1. We said, you know, you look at the instruction that was given to Joshua. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You look at something there. It says, but thou. Use the word but. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at Joshua 1:8, you're going to see the text is separated into halves. You have this the A part of the text. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And you know, actually, I can teach from this text for a whole week without stopping. And there'll be more than enough things to say. It's so pregnant, the text. It says, thou shalt meditate. But thou shalt meditate. Someone say, meditate. Hallelujah. He says, you will meditate therein day and night. You will meditate in the book of the law. But you will also meditate in your mouth. You can read it whichever way. Thou shalt meditate therein your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein the book of the law. Actually, if you ask me, the therein, what is the therein referring to? The therein, I will tell you, is referring to the book of the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the word meditate is already clear. Meditate, you know, is the word that implies to keep your mind and your mouth on the facts. Hallelujah. This is God teaching. Hallelujah. You didn't get it? You didn't get it? You didn't get it, right? Okay, you didn't get it. Look at verse 1. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto what? So who is teaching Joshua? Oh, the Lord. Now, I know you don't get it yet, so I'm going to show you. Hallelujah. Do I have your audience? Do I have your audience? I'm going to show you what it means by the Lord spoke to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to show you. Okay. Okay. But before I show you, look at this. This is God teaching Joshua how to succeed. You know, we mentioned that last week, right? What success is. So, whatever is being spoken of here requires utmost attention. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, even the place. Verse 3. It says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that, did he say, as the Lord or have I? Huh? Did he say, as the Lord or have I? Now, why did I say that? Because, look at this. This is a direct statement. Are you with me? Are you with me? From the Lord. Imagine. And God says this to Joshua. Look at what he says. That have I what? That have I what? I need your responses. That have I what? As I said unto him. So look at this. This is the same person Moses had been engaging. Or who had been engaging Moses. And now is with Joshua. Hallelujah. Look at me. If you are going to do God's will, he will be with you. And when God is with you, he's with you. Say, God is with me. Then it says, from the wilderness of the Andes Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the high tides unto the great sea, toward the going out of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, look at me. Look at this. Who else or where else did you see I am with you? Where it says, I am with you. Now, he spoke to Moses, right? When he says, I will be. No, he says, I will be with your mouth. That's what he told Moses. Hallelujah. But another place where we see, I am with you, is after the resurrection. When he says, lo, I am with you always. Did you remember? Did you remember? Now, if you look at it, you see similarities. Before he said, lo, I am with you always, an assurance of his ever-abiding presence, he had given an instruction concerning a mission. Right? Right? So you're going to see the similarity with this one too, isn't it? Isn't it? So look at this. Look at this. It's very important. I really trust to have the audience tonight. It's very important to know that the Lord is with you. But it is more important to realize that he is with you for a mission. So you don't waste resources. Resources of his presence. Did you get what I just said? It's important to know that the Lord is with you. It's more important to realize that he is with you for the sake of an assignment. It's more important to know that he is with you because of a purpose. So you can find out, you can discover, you can keep that purpose before your eyes always. Praise the Lord. He is with me for a reason. He is with me to glorify his name. He is with me to prosper me in his plans. He is with me to work out his plans through me. Hallelujah.
Say, the Lord is with me. Say, the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. The Lord is with you. Amen. Say, the Lord is with me. Say, the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. Are we together? Say, the Lord is with me. Are you with me? As we go about His works and His plans and His duties, He is with us. When He's with you, what happens? The seas split. Are we together? Are we together? The walls do what? They fall. The mountains lie low. The valleys are filled. Dry grounds becomes fruitful when He is with you. Are we together? Empty cisterns begins to multiply in oil when He is with you. When He is with you, you will never drown. Because He's with you, you'll never drown. He will lift up your hands and pull you. Hallelujah. Anytime. He will keep you walking on the waters. That is what He does. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So in Joshua 1, He says in verse 5, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Then He says in verse 6, be strong and be of good what? Courage. Are you with me? Are you with me? That means, look at this. The Lord being with you does not mean that you will not need impute. You also have impute. It doesn't work for you, it works with you. So He says, you are going to be strong. You are going to be of good courage. You are going to be strong. Say, I am strong. Yeah, and you're not going to limit that. You're not going to limit that to just mere saying. That means you're going to act strong. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You're going to push. You're going to push. It says, be of good courage. For unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mightest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. So when it says the law, what is it referring to? The instructions, right? The doctrine, the teaching, the writings of Moses. He says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou wert goest. Verse 8. This book of the law, which book of the law? This book of the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate. Hagar. It says therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hallelujah. Success. So good success, or God's success, hallelujah. The God kind of success is what we call good success. And good success is a function of acting on the word. So it profits to act on the word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at Psalm. David explains concerning the man who walks on the word. Verse 1. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in season, also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hallelujah. Says the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly is destruction, shall perish. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So it says in verse 2, is the light, is in the law of the Lord. And in this law doth he meditate. Hallelujah. Day and night. Then he speaks about fruitfulness in verse 3. Fruitfulness. So I showed you that the very first thing we see in the written word is that that is how God will guide a believer to a life of success in his plans. In his plans. Hallelujah. We said that the written word is God's final authority. And then we took a look at the text of 2 Peter. I explained to you concerning the vision that Peter had, the sight they saw, the sound that they had, and how that Peter, in the same text, just like Paul in 1 Corinthians 4 and 6, just like Paul in Galatians 3 from verse 1 to 6, would esteem the written word above any other means through which man claims, or through which the scripture has taught that God will lead man. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at this. If you and I believe today that God can speak to a man through a vision, observe that we came to that conclusion because we saw it in the written word. Did you see that? Even the possibility of God speaking to a man in a dream, or God leading and guiding us through other avenues, where all avenues will be discovered from the written word. Amen. So the written word of God becomes final, supreme, primary, ultimate. Hallelujah. Defining, establishing to all of God's means of leading us. Hallelujah. In Luke 24, look at that text. I mentioned this text last week. We didn't read it. Luke 24, verse 25. I want us to read together. I spoke to you about learning to receive God's word freshly, as though you were not conversant with that text. Luke 24, verse 25. Can we go? Want to go? Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Hallelujah. Now, where do we see what the prophets have spoken? Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures. Hallelujah. So Moses and all the prophets were in reference to the scriptures. Hallelujah. He calls them foolish for not thinking upon the scriptures. Oh, fools and slow about to believe. The word believe there is the verb of the word faith. Believe, to do something, that's the verb of the word faith. Is the word pistuo. The word faith is the word pistis. Faith is spelled P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. This is the noun. It's used for faith. And many times, you also have it translated faithfulness. Hallelujah. Then when you have pistuo, that's the verb, which means to what? To believe, or to what? To trust, or what? To rely on. Hallelujah. To rely on. That's an activity, verb. O fools and slow of heart to believe. Pistuo. Hallelujah. To trust. To believe all that the prophet have spoken. Then he goes into the things the prophet has spoken, and he was not playing or wasn't showing them visions. He simply took them by the way of the scriptures. He expanded unto them in all the scriptures. In all the scriptures. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So it's important to note, like I said last week, that Jesus had to explain the proof of his resurrection from the scriptures. He did not rely on the fact that they could see him and that was enough. He had to take them into the scriptures, and then he began to unveil what we call the written word from the scriptures. So the written word is in the scriptures. Hallelujah. We're getting there. The written word is in the scriptures. Hallelujah. The scriptures contain the written word. So he began to unveil to them from the scriptures what we call the written word. He began to explain the written word, the fulfillment of the work of redemption. He explained it from the scriptures. In Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 2 and 3, we see how that took 40 days. A 40 day explanation. A 40 day teaching. And I told you the reason why he chose 40 days, right? Right? Jesus is very careful in all he does. He fulfills the scriptures. He didn't choose 40 days because, maybe he had done 39, he needed one extra day. No. He did not choose 40 days because he just felt, he done 38 days, need 2 more days. He did 40 days to follow or to fulfill again the narrative of the Exodus. Hallelujah. How that, you're going to see Moses on the mountain for 40 days and it was intermeddling with revelation. But very much more precisely, you are going to see a 40-day walk in the wilderness. The journey of the wilderness took them 40 years, but we also how it ought to have been a 40-day journey. So Jesus repeats that 40 days, hallelujah, twice. The first 40 days, he repeats the 40 day, fulfilling the scriptures of who? Moses on the mountain. 40 days. He goes to fast and pray. Just like Moses was in fasting and prayer in those 40 days and in engagement with God. Then he comes 40 days again after the resurrection to fulfill the expected or the wilderness journey. The supposed wilderness journey that ought to have taken them just 40 days. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. Are you here? Okay. First Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Hallelujah. Now, when it says first of all, what does it mean? You will see that, in chapter 1. He didn't expect you to have that question, because he expected that you will not reach chapter 15 before chapter 1. Are we together? So look at chapter 1. Chapter 2, look at what it says in verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to the testimony of God, For I determined to know nothing, or I determined not to know anything among you, save who? Jesus Christ, and in what? Crucified. So what did he do? I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not in enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, when I came unto you the very first time, I didn't seek to do anything among you, but to deliver the gospel to you. That's what Paul said, referencing Acts chapter 18. So in chapter 15, he says, for I delivered unto you first of all. And the word deliver there means to hand over by the way of teaching. Hallelujah. To commit something to another by the way of explanation. Amen. To commit to another by the way of explanation. In other words, I came to you and I committed to you by the way of explanation what I also received. So what is that? It says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, wherein you also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. By which also you are saved. Hallelujah. In other words, Paul is defending his message. He is not preaching to the church at Corinth in chapter 15. He wasn't preaching in chapter 1 to chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 1 to 15, he writes again to assure them, hallelujah, the gospel, and to instruct them how to conduct themselves because of the gospel. In that same letter, you will find his defense of the gospel. Right from chapter 9. His defense of the gospel. You see the same thing in chapter 11. Hallelujah. His defense of the gospel. The same you see in 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, even up to chapter 12 of the second epistle. So he defends the gospel. And look at what he says in verse 3. He says, that which I also received. Hallelujah. Now when he says that which I also received, he's talking about, look at this, the things that were committed to him by the way of explanation. In other words, look at this, some things were committed to Paul by the way of explanation. Paul now went ahead and committed the same, are we together, to others by the way of what? Explanation. Amen. Amen. So what are the things committed to him? Facts of the gospel. Facts of the gospel. Committed to him. Hallelujah. But observe what he did. Amen. Are you with me? Now, if you look at Acts of Apostles, chapter 9. I mentioned that to you last week. Let's go there. Acts 9. You read from verse 1 to 6. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter, disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth, and had a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished, saying, Lord, said Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do. Hallelujah. So Paul had visions of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at what he later said, I told you again last week, Acts 26, verse 18. What he said about that vision. In that vision, or concerning that vision, Paul said in Acts 26, hallelujah. He said in verse 11, and I punished them often in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, hallelujah, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. When we were falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon the feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which thou hast appeared unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, to unto whom I am now sending. Open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the Eporanos Optausia, hallelujah, to the heavenly vision. Are we together? Optausia means a divinely granted appearance which is not earthly. You see the word heavenly there. Hallelujah. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I showed myself first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Hallelujah. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing, both to the small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophet and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be first, that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Hallelujah. So we see Paul again in Acts 26 from verse 15 down to verse 23, in defense of the ministry of the gospel, he talks about a vision that he had. So one of the vital points of Paul's ministry is the vision of Jesus that he saw. A vision that led to the call to the ministry. We cannot put that aside. We saw that in details in Acts 26. So yes, sure, Paul had the vision. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now look at 1 Corinthians 11. Look at something. 1 Corinthians 11, church. If you are there, say amen. Alright. Let's read verse 20. Verse 20. Everybody wants to go. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. 21. For in eating, every one of you take it. Everyone take it. Before his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is what? Drunken. Verse 22. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? Verse 20. He said, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you indeed? I praise you not. Verse 23, want to go. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Does this sound like 1 Corinthians 15? Okay. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of what? Of me. Hallelujah. Then look at Paul's conclusion in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. Now look at something there quickly. You will pay attention so you don't miss it up. In verse 23, he said, for I have received
of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That the Lord Jesus, the same night. Now, when he says, I have received the word lambano. Hallelujah. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Lambano. He says, I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Now, there is a question here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Paul said, I have received, what was he talking about? How did he receive? Very important to know. How did Paul receive what he said he has received? How did he receive it? Did Paul receive it by revelation, or Paul received in or through other means? Did Paul receive by revelation? Revelation means something was disclosed to you by God. No other source. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. For example, look at me. If I come here now, or let's say I was a guest minister. This is not my church. I have a church somewhere, and then come. Maybe your pastor invited me. Or maybe I invite some friends to come preach or bless us. Then it comes around. It says, oh, there's someone here whose name is, let's say, Abraham. Hallelujah. He says, who is Abiodun Abraham? Hallelujah. And then someone says, oh, I'm the one. I'm talking about the word of knowledge. That is revelation. Hallelujah. But observe, that is not revelation to the church. Why is it not revelation to the church? Because we all know we have a brother, right? Whose name is what? Abiodun Abraham. You get that, right? You get that, right? Or it says, who is Ophanon? He says, oh, I have. Say, I have a word for you. So he goes ahead, gives revelation. It is revelation to him. Do you know why? Because nobody told him. He knew it by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, revelation of the Spirit is what was disclosed to you. Hallelujah. In a secret. A secret was told to you. That is revelation. Now, look at this quickly also. A man, note that a man can bring you a revelation. For example, if I begin to tell you something that you did not know about me before, that is some kind of what? Revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at this. When Paul said, I received, look at verse 23, of who? Of the Lord. Is Paul referring to revelation from the Lord or the revelation of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Paul said, I received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, we said, we need to ask, how did Paul receive it? Was he told by people, or did he receive it by revelation from God? Are we together? But look at me, church. Do you agree with me that whatever everybody knows is not revelation? Oh, do you agree with that? What everyone already knows is not what? Is not revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at me. When Paul says, I received something, and every other person knows it, could he have received it by revelation? Or most likely he was told. He was told. So, could he have received it as revelation directly from God? Or most likely he was told. Now, what he was told, was it also a kind of revelation when he was being told? Up. Oh, church. People are sleeping. Up. Okay. So look at our text. I've had a lot of people argue on this text separately. And there's no need to argue. Just read properly. Look at what he said he received. He says that the Lord Jesus, the same night, verse 23, in which he was betrayed, took bread. Whoa! Will that be revelation of the Spirit for Paul to know that Jesus took bread? No, it was a common knowledge among the disciples. Are we together? We're talking about the Passover. Are we together? The Last Supper, rather. The Last Supper. So that was in Revelation. That was in Revelation. Look at verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my what? Body, which is broken for you. You will see all this, are we together, written in Luke's Gospel, in Matthew's Gospel, even Mark's Gospel. So it was a common knowledge. So, when he says, for I have received of the Lord. Are we together? You know, look carefully. When he says, for I have received of the Lord, does that mean, look at this, I have received from the Lord, or I have received concerning the Lord? Church. So I have received of the Lord in this text. Does it mean the Lord showed me that he broke bread? Or I received the knowledge that the Lord broke bread. I received concerning the knowledge that the Lord broke bread. Which one? And he's going to receive that from who? From the eyewitnesses, right? The people who were with him that night. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Paul called information he got from the apostles, he also called it the things he has received of the Lord. It means I receive concerning the Lord, not I receive it directly from the Lord. Because Paul never met Jesus bodily. Does that make sense to you now? So, I received of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Can we say it implies I have received concerning the Lord? Does that make sense now? Concerning the Lord, what concerning him? That he broke bread. Are we together? And the things he said when he broke the bread, the body, and the blood. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay. So, the question is this. Did Paul receive the accounts of the eyewitnesses? Now, so, let me ask you again. The accounts of the eyewitnesses was what to the eyewitnesses? Can we say the accounts of the eyewitnesses were the eyewitnesses' experiences? So this is Paul receiving from some people's what? Experiences. Concerning what Jesus did the night he was crucified. He is hearing their experiences. We're going somewhere. So let me ask again. Did Paul have visions of Jesus? Did he also have informations about experiences of Jesus? So, Paul is here in 1 Corinthians 15 now. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is here in 1 Corinthians 15 now to defend his ministry.
and he had had visions.
Someone say visions.
Paul had had several visions. And Paul had received several informations about experiences concerning Jesus. And he's here to defend his ministry, the ministry of Jesus. And look at what Paul says.
Look at verse 3 again.
Verse 3, everybody, I want us to read together.
For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received.
Will that be the eyewitness's account? Does that have some imputes of his visions?
Okay. But look at what it says. How that Christ died for our sins according to the...
Look at this. Paul is saying all the experiences, all the visions are fulfillment of what? Of the scriptures. He has visions, he has experiences, yet he says Christ died for our sins. He didn't say according to my vision, even though he had genuine visions. Christ died for our sins. He didn't say according to the experiences I had, even though the experiences were those of eyewitnesses, creditable, accreditable experiences. But it says according to the scriptures. He summarizes everything. He says, hey guys, yes, there are visions. Hey guys, yes, I had experiences, but the visions are the visions of the scriptures. The experiences are a fulfillment of the scriptures. He goes on to say in verse 4, he says how that, and that he suffered. He said he was buried, rather. And that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead the third day according to what is written. What is written? So he gave credence and precedence to the written word, according to the scriptures. Not according to what they saw, not according to what they had, not according to visions. Now we see the same thing is what Peter did, right? Right? Second Peter. We have the more sure word of prophecies. Yes, we had the word in the Holy Mount. We had the word in the Holy Mount. We glorified him and said, this is my beloved son. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. That you do well to take it unto, as unto a light that shines in the darkness, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Hallelujah. Knowing this, hallelujah, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private origin interpretation. He says, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In other words, the gospel which we preach is according to the scriptures. If it is according to a vision, the vision is according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. If it is according to a speaking, it is because the speaking is according to the scriptures. So the written word has preeminence. That's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. If we are ranking sources through which God will speak to people, the written word holds number one. That's what we're saying. It therefore implies, look at this, what God told Moses. He did not say, Joshua. He didn't say, hey, Joshua, as I have appeared to Moses, I will keep appearing to you. Just be following what I'm telling you. No, he says the book of the law will not depart. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Look at me, church. God has never relied on visions to lead people. Never. Has he led people through visions? Yes. Has he relied on just visions? No.
Are we together?
The written word becomes the basis of acceptance, hallelujah, of a particular guidance or leading. It is the basis of acceptance of a particular guidance or leading. The written word becomes how we perfect other means of guidance. It becomes how
we perfect every other means of guidance. Hallelujah. It's also the basis of acceptance. Of guidance and perfect judgment, as I said in my notes that's some 4 years ago, and discernment of all visions and revelations, leadings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The written word is how we know what God has said and what he did not see. Are you there? The written word is also how we know what God can see and what he cannot see. To push aside the place of the written word is to love them. Hallelujah. Did you get what I just said? Is to what? Is to love them. Put down your notes. Amen. Look at it. Is to make casualty of one's lifestyle, of one's living. That's what I mean. Is to make what? A casualty of one's living.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Don't joke with the written word. Put this down your notes. The written word contains clear-cut instructions.
Hope you are writing. If you are not writing, you are cheating yourself. I told you, the sharpest brain is not as smart as the bluntest biro. So you write. It's a Christian meeting. In Christian meetings, we write. So I said, the written word contains clear-cut instructions and guidance upon which every other instruction, leading, and guidance must find their basis. Hallelujah. You know, we live in a world and a time where whenever people want to get you to do something, they come up with these what's the word now? There's a word I want to use. Oh, I've forgotten. Hallelujah. They come up with this signature, says God said. So the moment somebody says God said, everybody, hallelujah, hallelujah, say God said, hallelujah. Look at this. Are there still God said today? Yes. But how do we know God said today? We know what God has said is saying today by what God has said. So we must judge God said with what? God has said. Are we together? How do we know, or where do we find God has said? In the what? In the written word. Is it clear? Is it clear? The moment God begins to say something that contradicts what God has said, then is a confused God that is speaking, or a different God. We go see as we go on that the counsels of God are eternal. Psalm 33 verse 11. His thoughts everlasting. So you find many people have experiences and they claim it's God leading them.
yet it's contrary to God's word, then I'm sorry, you are leading yourself. Including, look at me, God told me to tell you. Well, God told me to tell you, okay? If God told you to tell me, number one, I hear God too. Tell God to tell me He told you to tell me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not being stubborn. Do you know why? Do you know why? We read in Acts 9, right? Right? We read in Acts 9, right? Look at how God works. See, if you won't sit under proper Bible teaching, you will just become Asun. You know Asun? Suya meat. Eh? Eh? Do you know Asun? You just become Suya meat. To either the devil or to his agents. And so I'm saying, God says you should bring all your savings that you have been saving for the past 10 to 15 years. Say, God says you should bring it. God said, I should tell you to go and bring all your savings. And that you should not tell your husband. So that one now brought savings. The next thing you just saw is also EFCC in front of. And God could not stop them. Because you took the entire family savings. And God said, Oponu. After we have dealt with the person that God used. After we have dealt with that person that God used. Or that God used. We should deal with you too. That God told. In fact, that God. Those three. That God that told you, the person he used, and the you he told. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you hear God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, are we together? Are we together? You must allow it to go through the test of what? Of the written word. Is it clear? Find that Bible. Are we together? Find it. Amen? Amen? It must go through what? You know, say, God told me. God told me to tell you. Well, He has not spoken to me. Hallelujah. God's word is God's wisdom. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Are we together? So, it's very key. So quickly, there will be a need for us to lay a foundation in our study. A foundation to explain and understand in detail what we mean by the written word. So let's initiate that this evening. Are we together? Are we together? I'll be taking us through, yes, what I taught you, and then we're going to be looking at how that pertains to our study. So, but do you understand what I said? Do you understand what I said? The written word. The written word shows us the things that God has said and what He did not say. The things that God can say. Are we together? And what God will not say or cannot say. The Lord told me to pick a second wife. Hallelujah. Look how everybody looked at me. Amen. Amen. How can the Lord tell you? He said, I should pick a second wife. The Lord told me to leave my pastoring responsibilities and go and take a chieftain title in my city. That He wants to shed light there. You are just dull. You hear what I just said? You are just what? You are just dull. You don't know why it's happening. You don't know You don't know the value of what is in your hands. You don't know. You don't know what it means to be called of God. To care for His people. As I say, God told me to drop my pastoring responsibilities and go and become the king of our village. You are dull. Are we together? You should go and read, go and study concerning David. David knew there was more profit in the office of a prophet than that king. In fact, himself called himself a prophet. He saw himself more as a prophet. If he had treated his kingly responsibilities above his prophet's office, you won't have the book of Psalms. Did you get me? You won't have the book of Psalms. You won't have the books of Moses. You won't. You won't have Moses' law. If Moses has treated his judicial responsibilities, his kingly responsibilities, his governing responsibilities above that spiritual responsibility. So wake up. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. What is the word? Or who is the word? John 1. Let's look at that text. And let's just flow. Are we together? Are we together? He says, in the beginning, en ako emai logos. Hallelujah. He says, in the beginning was the Word. So, when we say the Word or the Word of God, the very first thing you see is that we're reading from John now. Now, why are we starting from John and examining the Word? Because John captures our thought. Are we together? John seems to deal with our question immediately. So, he says, in the beginning was the Word. That means when you have a question, or you're doing a study, or you're doing a finding, and then you are asking, who is the Word or what is the Word? John is saying, hey, you are meddling with something that precedes every other thing. Hallelujah. The word logos in the Greek. Now look at something there. He says the Word was with God and the Word was God. Now he says in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. That means in the beginning the Word was with God. Are we together? Are we together? Now the writer is teaching us definitely from Genesis, and he's saying that when you see God, hallelujah, when you see God, the very first thing you will notice is who? The Word. He says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God. That means in the beginning, the Word was with God. He says, the Word was God. He says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So look at this. He's explaining the Word and he uses the word Him. A personal pronoun, hallelujah, that deals with a human. You know, it's today that you have him used for a male goat. And say, don't beat him, don't beat him. It used to be it. Are we together? But as language evolved, we now design O. Let's separate what is animate from what is what? Inanimate. So you can be looking at a bed. A bed, O. We say, him. She. You see a snake, you say, she. Who is she? Ma follow it down. I know some people don't like it yet. Hallelujah. People like snake. How can you like snake? They like snake. What da Petrus is that? Praise God. I just hit. I'm born again, don't worry. Hallelujah. But you see a snake, you say, he, who? I mean, who? He said, this thing, they don't call it thing. Say him, who? Are you thinking? Hallelujah. So, you see, when you say him or her, she, primarily, it's used for an animate, but it's used for human. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he uses a human entity, a description for a human entity for the world. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That was just English, okay? Uh-huh. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him, in the world, was life. And the life was the light of men. Now, the very first time you will see life, are we together? And man, or man, and light is Genesis. You are going to see man, and life, and light. Are you with me? Without him was not anything made that was made, and creation. They say it was the beginning with God, and God. You are going to see all of these entities in Genesis. So John clearly is writing from Genesis. Is it clear? Is it clear? In just a single paragraph, he mentions God. He mentions beginning, a beginning of a creation. He mentions God. He mentions the Word. He mentions man. He mentions a creation. He mentions light. He mentions life. In verse 5, he mentions darkness that could not stop the light. So he mentions influence again. So you see the influence of light over darkness. You see life. You see man. You see creation. You see God. You see a beginning. It's clearly writing from Genesis. Anyone who began his Bible from the book of Genesis and comes to this point, we have flashes from what he just read in Genesis. Does that make sense to you? So he said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness of the light. Hallelujah. Now he's explaining the ministry of the prophet. So the very first time you will see witness of the light is where again? Is where again? How do you see witness of the light from Genesis? The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said. So there was a saying concerning the word light. The ministry of the prophets. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters explains the ministry of the prophets in the Old Testament writings. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Now, this was John. Now, this is 2 John, right? 1 John is writing about another John. Are we together? So, which John was bearing witness? Actually, 2 Johns are bearing witness. But John the writer, John the eyewitness, John the beloved, is writing concerning John the Baptist. Are we together? So, he calls John the Baptist, he's a prophet, a witness of the light. That was his ministry and calling. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighted every man that come into the world. So Genesis 1 verse 4, and there was light. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Refers to every man that come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. So when he says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The very first time we see life is in Genesis chapter 2. Hallelujah. Obviously, in Genesis chapter 1, we also see light. Let the sea bring forth. That's life. Let the earth bring forth seeds. That's life. Are we together?
But we see life, spelled life in Genesis 2, as a tree in the midst of the garden. Hallelujah. But before then, observe, before you saw in Genesis 2, verse 15 and 16, of a tree in the garden called the tree of life, you had already seen life before in verse 7. And God created man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So you see, the breath of life in verse 7, the breath of life is now explained in a parable sense as a tree of life in verse 15 downwards and chapter 3. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Hallelujah. So look at this. John the Apostle, in his synoptic account, gives us a lead. He says in verse 14, the Word became flesh. He says in verse 11 that the Word gave people light to become the sons of God. The Word gave right, authority, to become the sons of God. So the subject of this course is the Word. The Word who was in the beginning with God was God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That word, the word logos, is a word that implies an idea, a story, a mindset, a theory, a thought, a disposition, a pattern, a logic, a summation, an explanation, a plan, and an intention. Hallelujah. An intention. So look at this. John speaks of an intention. And he calls that intention a person. It means God's intention is wrapped up in what? In a person. So that person is called what? The Word. All of what God is going to do, his will, his work, his character, his abilities, his intention, his plan, his thoughts, his world, hallelujah, is summed up together and is called the Word. So it tells you that the Word is not a name. Is it clear? The Word refers to what? An office, a function. When you say Word, logos, it speaks of what? A function. It speaks of an office. An office. Hallelujah. So he changed the pronoun in verse 3 and 4 to him. He called the Word him. He called the him life. He called the life light. He called the him Word life light. He called it God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he says the life is the light of men. By saying it's the light of men, he speaks of salvation. Hallelujah. In 1 John 1 verse 5, we'll see the same thing. 1 John 1 5. Quickly, everyone. First John 1 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no what? So when he says, and the Word was what? Light, and the life is the light of men. Hallelujah. In him was light, the life is the light of men. Who is that light? God himself. Hallelujah. God himself. The word light, therefore, also is not a name. Light refers to a function, an influence, a function. Hallelujah. Paul presented the same in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. He says, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Son. He's speaking of salvation. That's why he says, if any man, if any be the lost, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 3.
He says, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, is it that are lost? You know, because of this word has blinded the mind of them that believe not. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of the glorious gospel. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the light of the glorious gospel? What is the light of the glorious gospel? What? Look at me, church. Answer these questions. What is the tree of life? Life. What is the bread of life? What is the gift of 5,000 naira? So what is the gift of righteousness? What is the book of life? What is the light of God? God. What is the light of the glorious gospel? The glory. So it means tree of life, tree which is life, right? Gift of 5,000. Gift which is what? The light of life. Light which is what? Life. The light of the glorious gospel. Light which is the what? Glorious gospel. So the light of the glorious gospel refers to the what? The glorious gospel. Are we together, church? So the light of the glorious gospel refers to the glorious gospel. He says, shine. Salvation. The light of Christ, therefore, in John 1, verse 3 to 5, will not be a natural intelligence, but God's intelligence. God's intelligence of salvation for humanity. In 1 Corinthians 1, hallelujah, we see the same thing. Not natural intelligence. Natural intelligence kept men from knowing God. The wisdom of men kept men from knowing God. That is not the light. The light of God, hallelujah, is separate from, you know, the light of man. In 1 Corinthians 2, you see the same thing. He says, he calls the light of God the things that the natural man cannot discern, but are only taught by the Spirit of God. So light in John 1, 4 is salvation. That's why in verse 12, he spoke about the sons of God. He says, those who believe in his name, those who receive him, receive what? Receive his light. He had said, that was the true light that lightens every man that comes to us. So you have to interread. Are we together? You have to interread those texts. You have to read those texts into one another. You have to keep going from John 1, verse 1 to 18, back to verse 1, back to 18, back to 1, back to verse 29 and 31, 32. The Lamb of God that takes the sin of the world away. That is how he is going to lighten every man that comes into the world. By that sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world, that is how the light is going to shine. Oh, so the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. Speaks of verse 29 and 32, how that it would die for the sins, and sins will not overpower it. The reign of sin. So light and darkness becomes the influence of sin and what? The sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. You have to read all of those texts together. Are we together? The moment you begin to read from John 1, and you see light and darkness, and you are thinking of technology, blockchain, you need glasses. It takes one. Are we together? Light shines in darkness. You now say, oh, that's why there are a lot of advancement around. That's why, you know, so you are mentioned, you need glasses. And you think it, ABC big one on the board. So you read it A to Z, like 50 times, then read your Bible again. Hallelujah. We're going to do one times one. So we know whether you are thinking right. Amen. Hallelujah. So the light recorded in John 1 is the what? The salvation of God through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So why is Jesus referred to us? Or why? Yes, it's Jesus. Why is he so called, referred to as the Word? Why is it referred to as the Word? Hallelujah. He had said that the prophets bore witness of him. I'm trying to skip a lot of thought here. Hallelujah. The prophets bore witness of him. Amen.
Look at Luke 24 again. We'll do that fastly, then we'll move on. 49. Luke 24 again. Are you there? Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, the believer that the prophet hath spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered this and to enter into his glory? Now, quickly, if you remember, I told you, probably, that you will not see verse 26 written anywhere in the books of the Bible, right? Rather, verse 26 can be called what? The Logos of all that the prophet spoke. Said. Right? Right? Okay. So, verse 25 of Luke 24 and verse 26, or precisely verse 26, is a putting together of all that the prophet said. Hence, it says in verse 27, beginning at Moses, and all the prophet, he expounded unto them, hallelujah, can we pay attention please? Hallelujah. It says, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Just listen carefully, you understand everything being taught. Hallelujah. Beginning at Moses and all the prophet, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning who? Concerning himself. In other words, all that the prophet said is summarized. Hallelujah. As verse 26, all that the prophet said concerning his death and resurrection is summarized as 26. In verse 45, these are texts we studied, so let's just flash through it. Thus then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, though it is written, thus be of Christ who suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at what? At Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Again, the thought of the prophets. So look at this. Can we say that the works of Jesus in his death and resurrection is the architecture upon which all the prophets' teachings are based? Can we say that? John 5, 39 says, the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come unto me that you might have life. Verse 45. Do not we accuse you to the Father. There is one that accused you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for you wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So can we say the teachings of Jesus, the works of Jesus, again, is an architecture on which all of Moses' teachings and writings were built? First Peter 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of souls, of which salvation the prophet have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Hallelujah. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, it says, were the testimony of all the words, the prophets. And that was the Spirit of Christ speaking. Did you see that? So can we say again from this text that the wisdom of God in the Old Testament were the works of Christ that he would do? So can we say that the Logos of God in the Old Testament is the work of Christ? In his sufferings and his resurrection, can we say that? The sufferings and his glory, can we say that? Would we be right if we say that? So the sufferings of Christ and the glory, that is the death and the resurrection, and what that means is the Logos, the principal architecture behind all that the prophet said. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So it tells you and I, look at this,
that John the Baptist, like we read in John 1, 6 and 7, just like every other prophet, came to bear witness of the word. Is that true? Which is the light. Is that true? Which is to lighten every man. Is that true? So look at this. Why is it called the light? It is called the light because it will illuminate every man. So light is a function, not a name. Hallelujah. It is called the light because it will illuminate every man. He will brighten every, he will lighten every man. And that light is the light of salvation. He is called the Savior because he will save every man. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He is called the Justifier because he will justify every man. He is called the Sanctifier because he will sanctify every man. He is called the Deliverer because he will deliver every man. He is called the Healer because he will heal every man. He is called the Savior because he will save every man. He is called the Light because he will lighten every man. So God or Jesus being called the Light is a function. It's an activity, a duty, an office that he comes to occupy that no one else could occupy. Hallelujah. So look at me, church. That means prophets are not lights. Are we together? But prophets were sent to bear witness of the word of the light. So look at this. We can call prophets something like a bulb. Are we together? They are the one that spreads what? The light. Are we together? But we cannot call them prophets if they didn't have the message. The message is what validates their ministry. There was a ministry. That is why we call them messenger, because there was a message. If there was no message at all, they couldn't be called messengers. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the prophets do not take the glory. They only shine the glory. The glory goes to who? To the one who sent the prophet on the errand. Are we together? So look at what it says, John 1. He says, John was not the light. John was only sent to bear witness of the light. The true light that lightens every man that comes into the world. What did he call the true light? The word. Are we together? He now says in 14 that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So we call his name Jesus. So Jesus is the word. Are we together? The light that every other prophet came to bear witness of. So the moment now, those who came to bear witness, we call them messengers. The messenger is not the message. The messenger, hallelujah, is only valid, two things, as long as there is a message. Secondly, as long as he is bearing that message. It's not enough for there to be a message. We call you a messenger because you are bearing that message. If you come with another message, even though the true message exists, then you are not worthy to be called what? We shouldn't treat you like that person's messenger, right? Right? We shouldn't. If you knock on our door and you are wearing that another badge, we should not open up to let you in. Because yes, you are wearing a badge. It shows us that you were sent of someone. But the badge is not the one we were expecting. Ah, go somewhere else. I'm sorry, not here. Because, ah. So you have the message, but the message is not the message. Ah, no. You are not sent to us. So it's not enough for there to be a message. We don't receive you because there is a message. We receive it because there is a message, and that's the message you are carrying. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So, the prophets of God, The prophets of the light are called prophets of the light because they bear the light. The light will be the message of salvation through God in Christ Jesus. Anybody that did not teach or affirm of God's saving power or of God's salvation, work of salvation, through Jesus Christ is not the prophet of God. If you like, call him Yure. He's not a prophet of God. There are prophets that we recognize. They are in the Bible. Hallelujah. So if it is not the prophet of God, what do we call them? A false prophet. A false prophet, look at this, will bring a different message, or it will bring the same message and twist it. That's a false message. That's a false prophet. Because the moment you twist the truth, it's no more the truth. If you add to the truth, it's no more the truth. If you take away from the truth, it's no more the truth. Are we together? Are we together? You will also be confused to now look at it, mingle, or to now mistaking the message from the what? From the what? From the messengers. Because we have told you that the message is who? A person. So, the message that is supposed to be preached, do I have your attention? Is a person. A man. That message is who? A man. Are we together? The messengers who are also sent are also who? Men. So if you are not careful, you will see the message and call him what? The messenger. But he's not the messenger. He's not the prophet. He was the reason for the what? For the prophet in the first place. And you know that he's a man means he won't have two heads, right? Right? He will have one head. Look at it. If you look at him, and you look at the other messengers, they are going to look what? Alike. So what makes him different? By the time you listen to all of them, they are talking about him. Simple. Did you get it? This is a dilemma of a lot of people and say, Jesus is a prophet, Jesus is a prophet. Just shut up and listen to explanation. Just shut up. Shut up. Padlock it. Shut up for once in your life and listen to explanation that will redeem you. Go to your room and shut up for once in your life. That was my friend who said that. Hallelujah. Rezoyo. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you get it? If a man means he does not eat through his belly. Hallelujah. If his messengers work miracles, he will also what? Work miracles. But you don't, because they were working miracles, he also worked miracles, now put them side by side. Listen to what they said after they worked miracles. That they will put to him. Don't forget that vision we saw last week on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah and who? Moses. And they were discussing with him about his demise. Then the voice came and says, this one. So it will look like Elijah. Are we together? Are we together? Because look at this. Let me make a statement and I will leave to explain. If he does not look like Elijah, he didn't send Elijah. Are we together? If he does not look like David, he didn't send David. Because look at this. One of the things he is going to do when he comes is that he is going to take the place of all the people he has sent and live like all of them. To show you he sent them. Are we together?
That's why many times when you are going through, it says, he did it that he might be fulfilled according to. It's not that that thing was said about him, but it's showing you that to show you that he was the one behind there, he is taking their position. That's the Yahweh. He will become another David. He will become another Abraham. He will become another Noah. He will take their place. So where they failed, while carrying out his own mission, he will pass there. He will be tempted. If he is not tempted, then he's not a man. He's not like them. So, but how are you going to know he is different? He is unique. You are going to have to listen to their message. Because what made them valuable in themselves was the message they carried. So you have to listen to the message. So he is called the Word, the Logos. So John the Baptist, just like every other prophet, bore witness of who? Of Jesus. Bore witness of the light. Hallelujah. So Jesus is therefore separate from the prophets. Why? Because he is their ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me take a bit further. I had said before that the written word is how you know, right? Right? The guidance that is from God and which is not from God. Look at this. The message concerning Jesus is also how you know the prophet that is of God or not of God. That's how you know. Discernment, are we together? Is found in Christ. You're going to see the prophets of God. Look at Acts 13 quickly. We look at Acts 13. Then we'll go over some text and then we'll close for today. Have you been blessed, church? Alright. I think it's nice as we are going little by little, right? Right? Or you guys want it in 2 days? Just a shakabula approach. You don't know what that is, right? I will explain it to you. In the resurrection. Hallelujah. Acts 13. Acts 13. Are you in Acts 13? Look at verse 26. I want us to read together. And we're going to be fast. So let's read. One, two, go. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not yet, the voices of the prophets. Wait. Let me ask you a question. What does it mean to know the voices of the prophets? Answer! You read scriptures here. Is this scriptures? Look at this. Read verse 27 again. Want to go? For they that dwell, open your mouth, child. Want to go? Because they knew him not. Know what? So what does it mean to know the voice of the prophet? Who has known the voice of the prophet? The person who knows him. Did you see that? He is the voice of the... What do you mean by voice of the prophet? Is he talking about deep voice, sonorous voice, tiny voice? No, it means the message of the prophets. Are we together? So they did not know the message of the prophets which are led every Sabbath day. What did they do? They have fulfilled them in condemning him. Can we read verse 28 together? One to go. And though they found no... Can we read together? Verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. 31. And he was seen many days of them, which came up from him, Galilee,
to Jerusalem, who were witnesses unto the people. 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, verse 33, God has fulfilled the same unto all their children, in that they raised up Jesus again, as is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Did you see that? So the resurrection of Jesus is a fulfillment of the things said in the Old Testament. He is the message. He is the message. The fact that he looks like his messengers does not mean he's another messenger. You are only blind. Are we together? Are we together? Because the message was concerning a man. The messengers were also men. Does not mean when you see that man, you should mix him up with the other messengers. Why? Because God has promised, look at this, that in saving humanity, he will take upon himself their nature. In saving humanity, he will take upon himself their what? Their nature. That is the power of salvation. That is the wisdom of God in salvation. So Jesus is separate from the prophets. He is separate from the prophets. Why? Because he is their ministry. Why is he separate from the prophet, church? Because he is their what? He is their what? He is their ministry. Look at Matthew 11. Quickly! We have a few minutes to go. I want to use it judiciously. Are you learning something? Matthew 11. Look at something in verse 1. I want us all to read together again, loudly and clearly. One to go. It came to pass when Jesus had made end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. 2. Now when John had had in the prison the works of Christ, he sent 2 of his disciples, 3, and said unto him, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? In other words, look at this. Are you the one we have been talking about? Now, this was a question not to find out. It was a question from an offended heart. Are we together? Because John knew. John knew he was the one. But John thought that there were some things Jesus should have done. But Jesus wasn't called to do that. For example, John was in prison, and John felt that Jesus should have used his power, supernatural power, to set him free. And Jesus did not do that at that time. So he was offended. And many other reasons was offended. So it's like saying, are you the one? So he knew. He was just offended. Because look at the next thing. Look at the next thing, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, I'm going to explain verse 5 to you one of these days. The reason why Jesus chose these miracles is because they pointed to his work of salvation. By saying that the blind receive their sight, it is because he is the light of the world. So when he says, go and tell John, he wasn't saying, go and show him I have miracles. No, Moses had miracles and Moses is not the one to come. But he was showing him those miracles because John, in hearing those miracles, John had read Isaiah. So John, in reading, hearing those miracles, John will know that he is the one to fulfill redemption. Because the opening of the blind eyes, the opening of the deaf ears, the cleansing of leprosy, the functioning of the lame, the raising of the dead are all pointers to redemption. Are we together? Look at verse 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So John was offended. Are we together? Now, look at verse 7, everybody. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning who?
Concerning who? What went you to the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? What went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Verse 10. For this is he of whom it was written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which I prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, they have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is what? Greater than he. Look at verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence taken it by force. Look at verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto what? Until John. Why? Because John was the last person to prophesy, and then the coming of the Messiah. If he was a prophet, he should have said, to me too. But he paused the ministry of the prophet at John. Because when the prophet says, I send your messenger, the messenger was his messenger. Are we together? The messenger was his messenger, John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So by the time you read on and on, Jesus spoke about the ministry of the prophet, and then he spoke how that they all spoke concerning him. I think we have enough text to do that. Other text will be 2 Timothy 3:15, and then Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 4. Look at Romans 1 quickly. Romans also becomes very useful here. Quickly, Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 4. We'll read together. If you are there, you can read with me once you go. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Which gospel? The gospel which he has promised. Who promised it? God. Before, by his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning who? His son Jesus Christ. So who were all the prophets speaking concerning? Who were all the prophets speaking concerning? Jesus. What about Jesus? Look at the next thing he says. Which was made the seed of David according to the flesh. Seed of David means he will take upon him the form of humanity. So all the prophets spoke about the Son of God, the one who will be in the form of man. Now that statement, Son of God, again, is something to explain. Son of God does not refer to the one God gave birth to. No. The statement, Son of God, I've explained Son when we're looking at spiritual development. The statement Son of God is to explain something that takes responsibility amongst men on behalf of God. So God coming as a form of man to take responsibility of all he has said is called the Son of God. Simple. Because that word Son, when you say Son, it's not meant to you for you to go and look at dictionary for. You don't look at dictionary for the Bible. When it says Son, Son is used for somebody who has my authority and will take responsibility for me in that place. That's the meaning of Son. That's why Jesus is not the only person that is called what? The Son of God. Even in the Old Testament, angels were called sons of God because they execute God's responsibility amongst what? Amongst men. So Son is a language of scripture to speak about somebody who is doing something on my behalf and is carrying out my will. So angels were also called sons of God. So what now makes Jesus different from angels? He says this one is a unique Son of God. This one is my beloved Son, the only begotten Son. That is, this particular Son is different from every other description called Son of God, because this one is God himself in the flesh. Are we together, church? So he is the reason for the prophets. He is the basis of their fulfillment of their ministry. So will the prophets be judged? Yes. The prophets are going to be judged, and they are going to be judged to the degree to which they carried out the message. They spoke the message. How they were faithful to the message they were given to preach. How they were faithful. Hallelujah.
The Logos himself is their message. Now, quickly before we close, let's look at this and then we'll close from here. Hallelujah. The word Logos, hallelujah, the word Logos is the word Daba in the Hebrew. Daba. Observe that whatsoever John is teaching from the Old Testament, right? Right? So his study of the word is not complete if we do not look at the Old Testament. The word Daba. Now, I checked up the word Daba and I observed that that word Daba, look at the first time it was used in Genesis chapter 12. I saw that the word Daba, are you with me? Are you with me? In the Greek Septuagint, Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament writing, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Hallelujah. But for the sake of translation, you have the Hebrew text of the Old Testament translated into Greek, so that you can have an entire Greek Bible. Are we together? The New Testament, Matthew to Revelation, were already written in Greek. So the translators or the interpreters of the Bible will put Genesis to Malachi into Greek, so you can have a Greek Bible. Are we together? So the Greek version of the Old Testament writing is what we call the Septuagint. So when you look into the Septuagint, I observe that the word, anywhere you see the word Daba, where Daba ought to occur in the Old Testament portion of the Greek Bible, what you saw there is the word Logos. That means that Daba in the tongue of an Hebrew man is the same thing when a Greek man is saying what? Logos. Are we together? Are we together? Now, definitely, everything taught in the New Testament books were all taught from what? The Old Testament. So we're going to look at the Old Testament. What does Daba imply? And then we want to do that in another 5 to 10 minutes. Are you with me? Are you with me? So look at this. The first usage of the word Daba, I ran through the word. Okay, let me just, I'll build on that much more. Before you look at that, look at John 8. Quickly, John 8. In John chapter 8 and then in verse 58. You know, something happened right there. And then I asked Jesus a question in verse 53. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? What do you make of yourself? Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my father that honored me, of whom you say that is your God. Verse 55. You have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was what? Now, you agree that Abraham was thousands of years away from Jesus. And Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Now, is it that Jesus was lunatic, or he was saying something that he needed to pay attention to? How can you be less than 50 years old and say somebody who had existed thousands of years before you saw you? You must be driving at something. So look at the next thing they said. 57. Then said the Jews unto him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham, I what? He didn't say I was, he said I am. Now, the first time you see that statement, I am, is in Exodus, addressing to Moses. He said, who will I tell them send? He said, I am that. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Tell them, I am has sent you. For speed's sake, I am, are we together, is a personal description of God. It's a description that God gave. I am. So look at me. If a Jew hears I am, he knows what to think about. To you today, if you hear I am, you'll be I am what? But to the Jew, when the Jews hear I am, they remember how their fathers were delivered from Exodus through mighty works through someone called I am. So I am is an Old Testament description of God. That is why if you do not read the Old Testament, you won't understand the New Testament books. You will be lost. You will be lost. So when Jesus faced that audience and he said, before Abraham, I am. And by the time you look at that text in Exodus 3, when the angel of the Lord, or angel which is the Lord, spoke to Moses, he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have heard the cries and I have sent you to come to deliver them, to bring them out of bondage. In other words, I am is not something God called himself for the first time to Moses. I am is God revealing himself. He has been the word I am even before Moses. Are you with me? So he tells Moses that. He didn't give Moses a name. He didn't coin out a name at that instant. He only reveals himself to Moses. Are we together? He has been that. So now, did Abraham exist before Moses? Yes. So he says, before Abraham, I am. If you know the implication of this statement, theologians actually believe and has agreed that what Jesus was saying is that I am the one who spoke and dealt with Abraham. Jesus actually said, I am the one who dealt with Abraham. Even before Abraham. Now, why did he mention Abraham? Because that's the peak of their faith. Are we together? That's the peak. Abraham was the one God came to after a very long time to reestablish a covenant. So that's why he didn't mention Moses. He said, Abraham. Abraham is the peak. As I say, we are children of Abraham because Abraham is the peak. There are more prophets of God before Abraham, but Abraham is the, they were called sons of Abraham because whatever is happening them now is the fulfillment of the promise God gave to Abraham. So Abraham was the peak. So he says, before that person that you call number one of all your fathers, I have existed. Hallelujah. What does that tell you? It means the interactions of Abraham was with the Logos that now became flesh. Hallelujah. And we call his name Jesus. Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, at Abraham, had he become flesh? No. Are we together? We do not see him in at Abraham's time. Are we together? Are we together? But before Abraham, he has what? Existed. In fact, he was the one who interacted with Abraham, gave Abraham the promise. He is now here himself in human flesh to fulfill all he has told Abraham. Hallelujah. Because when God makes a promise, God fulfills it himself. So he spoke to Abraham. Many years after Abraham, the faithfulness of God, he will become flesh and fulfill it. So the teaching of the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3:16, the seed, not as of many, but as of one, even who? Christ. So when he told Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, himself was going to be the seed of Abraham and bring that blessing. Abraham just needed to believe, and that's all. Are we together? Are we together? So he says, before Abraham, I am. I am flashes from Exodus 3, verse 14, the personal description of God. So what does he mean by before Abraham? Look at Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 12, look at verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham. So who was the one speaking to Abraham? The Logos. Was Abraham a prophet? Was Abraham a prophet? You don't know? Look at Genesis 20. Quickly. You have to be fast. We're closing now. Genesis 20. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Genesis 20. Verse 7. So can we read? Want to go? Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a what? Prophet. And he shall pray for thee, thou shalt live and restore her
And if thou restore not, know that thou shalt surely die. Die, thou and all that are thine. Verse 8. Then Abimelech arose in the morning and called all the servants and told all the things in their ears. And the men were afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what have you done unto us? Have we offended you, that you have brought upon us and our kingdom great sin? Did you see that? So who was the prophet there? Abraham. So if Abraham was a prophet, it's because he had a message. Who gave him the message? Jesus. At a time where he had not come into the flesh. That is God. Are you with me? Are you with me? Genesis 12. We're going to stay on this short for a very short while next week, because I'm bringing a study along this line very soon. Genesis chapter 12. So, as Jesus existed in the Old Testament, yes, he was the one who gave the instruction to Adam. Hallelujah. In fact, look at this. One of the things we are going to see as we go on is that you are going to see expressions that you and I have ignored in the Old Testament. When it is, and the word of the Lord came. Word does not come if it's not a person. And the word there is the word Daba. The Logos came. And every time you hear the word Logos came, it does not refer to how a message got to you. It means the appearance of a person. So the idea of God being in the flesh did not come for the first time in the four Gospels. That had been the plan. If God became a flesh and that was not revealed before he came into the flesh, that means all the prophets were clueless about it. If all the prophets were clueless about it, he is not their God. Then the one who comes in the flesh to fulfill what the prophet have said must have been fulfilling something else. Because the prophet would never have said that. But the prophet knew. The prophet knew that God will come in the flesh. They knew. If Moses cried, I said, show me your face, because Moses knew. So Moses was asking for it in his time. Then he says, you won't see my face. But you can be rest assured that no man shall see my face and not live. He didn't say no man shall see my face and live. No. The face of God does not kill. It gives life. He didn't say no man shall see my face and live. No. No man shall see my face and not live. So he's telling Moses that be rest assured, life is available. I'll fulfill it. Because face there, again, does not mean the nose, the eyes. Face is used for a physical appearance. The face, a personal appearance. So Moses had seen God in visions. He has seen God in the thick cloud. He has seen God in the cloud, in the darkness. He has seen God in the thundering. He says, I want to see you physically. So Jesus said, or God said, not for you. But it will happen. And you can be sure that no one is going to see me and not be alive. That is referring to the incarnation and the resurrection. Are we together, church? Are we together? In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 17. I want us to read that text before we close. Look at what it says. Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. Verse 17. What does it say? And the Lord plagued Pharaoh. No. Hallelujah. Verse 7 is what I wanted to read. Can we read together? I want to go. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Did you see that? And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, read on. Hallelujah. So, who appeared unto Abraham? The Lord. Did you see that? Who is the Lord who appeared? That means Abraham had an appearance. Right? Of who? Of who? Of who? Of the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Abraham had an appearance of the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis. Quickly, Genesis 28. Genesis 28, in verse 12. Can we read together once ago? And he dreamed, and behold, the ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am an angel, cannot say I am the Lord of Abraham. Are we together? So who said, I am the Lord of Abraham? The Lord himself stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of what? Isaac. So when you hear before Abraham, I am. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? So the Lord who stood on top of the ladder and addressed the son and spoke to the son about the father Abraham, that is the one who spoke to the father and had been dealing with the father. Because one of the things you must observe that I want to explain that is that there is this transgenerational inheritance of the prophet's ministry that was handed over from Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Moses. So it wasn't just that God was interacting with their children. The office of the prophets was being handed over as a birthright to the laying on of hands. That's why Jacob also laid hands on the sons of Joseph at Egypt. Are we together? Are we together? And minister. Are we together? So when he's saying that I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac, he was telling Jacob that I am the one who has given them that ministry of a prophet. I am the one who called them. I am now calling you. Are we together? Are we together? So when he says the Lord spoke unto Joshua, like I told you the other time, he's saying, Joshua, I am the one who called Moses. I am now what? Calling you. Did you see that? So who stood above the ladder? The Lord. Observe, he says angels were what? So he distinguished between what? Angels and who? The Lord. And said the Lord did what? Stood. Was that an appearance? So the appearance of God as a man had been from the Old Testament. God has always appeared to his men the form of a man. What only happened in the incarnation is that he came physical. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Look at John 1. The next time you see that mention was in John 1. So observe that the response of time is gone. Observe that the response of what is his name? Jacob. Was that he will call that place the house of what? Of God. Bethel. Bayit El. Bayit is used for household. The household of God. He knew who he saw. Abraham knew he was not relating with an angel. Abraham knew he was not relating with a spirit being, ministering spirit or angel. Abraham knew he was relating with Jehovah, with Yahweh, who had appeared to him severally in the form of a man. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? And then you are going to see that all through the Old Testament. David too had that appearance. He appeared to him as a man. He appeared to him. The prophets too. In fact, he appeared to Joshua as a man. In fact, he even fought the wars with Joshua. So when he says, I will be with you, Joshua saw that appearance with him as he was fighting. Hallelujah. So what did Moses call him? Moses called him Jehovah what? The mighty man of what? Of war. Why will he call Jehovah man? They all knew. Are you with me? They all knew. They all had insight into that, you know, character of God, the character of a what? Of a man. But he will be the perfect man, sending the imperfect men on errands and taking care of their perfections as they work for him.
Hallelujah. Where they are weak, he will supply strength. He is the perfect man. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. So he came into time, fulfilled the work of redemption, switched back. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So look at John 1 quickly. So we close. John 1. John chapter 1 in verse 51, I think. John chapter 1 in verse 51. Look at this. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascend and descending upon who? The Son of Man. So who was on Jonah's ladder? Jacob's ladder, rather. Who was on Jacob's ladder? The Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? The Word. So that word Daba, are you with me? And the word Logos, in Revelation 19:13, it says, and his name shall be called what? The Word of God. Revelation 19:13. His name shall be called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 15. We look at 3, 4, 5 texts, and then we'll close tonight. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Genesis chapter 15. Quickly, please. Look at Genesis 15, verse 1. He is the God who answers prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis 15 verse 1. We saw Genesis 12 verse 7, right? How that the Lord appeared, right? Genesis 15 verse 1. Can we read together? Want to go? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. Now, when you see a vision, when there is a vision, you see, right? So when the word came in a vision, he saw the Logos in a vision. And the writers were very careful to present it this way, that the word of the Lord came. So a person literally came to Abraham in the form of a vision, because it was a vision that he appeared to people throughout all the Old Testament. But in the four Gospels, he will no more appear through a vision. Hallelujah. He will appear as a man. So he comes in the same way man comes, through the womb. Only that he will not have an impute of a man's sperm, Joseph. So we see as a sign that this one is a unique birth. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Are we together? So he says the word of the Lord did what? Appeared. So this was an appearance. So in that Old Testament, you consistently see that appearance. You see that appearance. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Now, what did Abraham say? What did he say to Abraham? I am thy what? Thy shield and thy exceeding great what? Reward. This is Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 13. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. And Abraham said, Lord God. So Abraham was talking to God directly. In a vision, appeared to him. Look at verse 4. Can we read verse 4 together? And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth, but he that hath come forth out of thy womb, Boaz, shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you are able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted into him for what? Righteousness. So when did the Lord count him for righteousness? When Jesus came, or at that point? At that point. So who was the Lord? An angel? No, he was God himself. Does that make sense to you? So God had appeared to his prophets, to men in the Old Testament, in the form of what? Of a man. He had instructed them, he had been with them, he had counseled them, he had encouraged them, he had strengthened with them. Hallelujah. He had given them promises of what he will do. And they walked with him based on that revelation. So what happened in the four Gospels is that he now came to fulfill. To fulfill. So, and the word was made flesh. He came to fulfill all that he has spoken unto them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're closing here. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. In verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. The Lord called Samuel. Did you see that? The Lord called Samuel. Now when he says the Lord called Samuel. The Lord called Samuel. Answered. And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down." And then again the Lord called again. So you see instructions and words. That appearance of a man in a vision will speak. So he came and then he spoke to them. In verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was what? The word of the Lord yet revealed. The Logos yet revealed. When he says the word of the Lord revealed, he wasn't talking about his teachings. The word of the Lord revealed talks about him. He had never seen the Lord in a vision before. God had not revealed himself to Samuel in that form of vision. Hallelujah. In verse 21 of the same 1 Samuel 3, he says, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh." Did you see that? The Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word, by the Logos, by the appearance of the Lord. He revealed himself by the appearance of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that there was a supernatural radio broadcast going on in Samuel's earpiece. No. The Lord showed himself to him in a vision. That vision of the appearance of the Lord in the Old Testament is what was called the word of the Lord, the Logos. So when it comes in John 1, he now says the Logos became flesh. Did you not recall? So you see where we are coming from. We are coming from an appearance via vision of a man to the physical substantiation of the man in the natural. So you will not understand, "And the word became flesh," if you have not read the Old Testament to see that he had always been the man appeared in a vision. But now he will no more be seen by his man, he will be seen by the whole world, walking on 2 feet, talking to them, laying hands on the stick, and carrying out his own mission by himself. Hallelujah. So you keep seeing that, and then put down this text and study this text by yourself at home. If you don't study it, you lose a whole lot. Ezekiel, okay, 1 Samuel 15 verse 10. 1 Samuel 15 verse 10. Verse 23, verse 26. Then look at Jeremiah, Isaiah 38 verse 4. Isaiah 38 verse 4, Jeremiah 1 verse 2, verse 4, verse 11 and 13. Jeremiah 1 verse 2, verse 4, verse 11, verse 13. Jeremiah 2 verse 1, 7 verse 1, 11 verse 1, 13 verse 8, Jeremiah 14 verse 1, 16 verse 1, 18 verse 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah 21 verse 1, Jeremiah 24 verse 4. Ezekiel 36 in verse 16. Ezekiel 3, not 36. Ezekiel 3:16. Ezekiel 6:1 and verse 3. Ezekiel 7 verse 1. 7 verse 1. Ezekiel 21 verse 1, verse 8 and 18. Ezekiel 11 verse 14. Ezekiel 12 verse 1. Ezekiel 12 verse 8. 17, 21, and 26. Ezekiel 14, verse 2, verse 12. Ezekiel 15, verse 1. 16, verse 1. 17, verse 1. Ezekiel 18, verse 1. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Micah 1, verse 1. Zephaniah 1, verse 1. Jonah 1, verse 1. Jonah 3 verse 1, Haggai 1 verse 1 and verse 3. Haggai, I went through all of these texts and there are more. I just noted these ones.
Haggai chapter 2, verse 1, verse 10, and verse 20. Hallelujah. So the word of the Lord, hallelujah, one of the things we're going to see as we go on is that it's as vital as the Lord in a vision. Hallelujah. So when we look at all this, God appearing to Abraham, I close. God appearing to Abraham, God appearing to all of these people. Hallelujah. When we look at all this, what does it tell you and I, church? It means that the very first thing it tells you is this. Are you with me? If the Lord's interaction with them at that time was that way, and that was what they dealt with, and that is recorded for us to read today. Are you with me? Are you with me? It means, look at this. What we are reading and learning by reading was actual interactions of men with God. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, treat what you are reading as God relating with you. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? What you are reading today should not lose its power because it looks like book to you. You are actually reading interactions of God with his men. So the fact that it's coming to you by way of reading does not mean it should lose what? His authenticity. It is stronger than your visions. Are you with me? Are you with me? In fact, all that we are practicing, they call Christianity, is based upon that. We'll pick it up again next week. Don't be on our feet. Just give God praise.